Here's a puzzle that can make your head hurt. How can you convert an old office building into apartments? It's a question on the minds of a lot of people in New York City. Hi there, everyone. I'm Jeff, and this is Plain English, lesson number 559. Here at Plain English, we help you upgrade your English with lessons about current events and trending topics. If you're into real estate, architecture, city planning, construction, or engineering, this will be a good one for you. How to take an old, empty office building and breathe new life into it. There are a lot of challenges, but for those few developers who can do it right, there can be big rewards. And cities need all the help they can get in their business districts. In the second half of today's lesson, I'll show you how to use the English expression get wind of, and JR has a song of the week. The full lesson resources for today's episode are at plainenglish.com/559. That, by the way, includes a free transcript. Let's dive in. New York's office vacancy rate is about 16 or 17%. That means about 17% of all the space inside office buildings is currently empty and available for rent. That's high by historical standards, but even that covers up an uncomfortable truth. The newest buildings are doing very well. They have great natural light, good air quality, are in the best locations, and have good amenities. They have no problem attracting tenants, and they fill up. But some old buildings are really struggling. Large blocks of floors sit empty. These buildings were built a long time ago. They don't have efficient floor plans. They don't have the upgraded wiring that's needed for a modern office. They're not energy efficient. The elevators aren't very fast. They're maybe not in the best locations for an office today. What to do? One answer is to convert them into apartments. And New York City especially is desperately short of housing units. So this looks promising, and a lot of real estate developers are now looking at converting old offices to apartments. But this is not a job for the faint of heart. It's one of the hardest things in real estate development. Most challenges are physical. A floor in a typical office building is a big square with windows around the outside and a vast amount of space in the interior. There are elevators in the core of the building. The plumbing is usually also concentrated in the interior of the floor. It's a challenge to reconfigure this for apartments. First, all apartment units must have an operating window in every bedroom, and the window has to open and close. Many offices don't have windows that open and close. Second, if you concentrate bedrooms around the exterior, where the windows are, that still leaves lots of space in the interior with no windows and no natural light. Developers have found a few options here. One is to make the interior space a home office. Some developers are even putting two home offices in the same apartment. Here's another idea. Older office buildings are often tapered. The building narrows toward the top. Stand on the street and look up at some of these old office buildings. As you look up higher and higher, you'll see the floors become smaller and smaller. That means a developer could convert only the highest floors into apartments, the narrower ones, which are easier to configure, while keeping the lower floors for commercial space. A more radical option goes like this. Carve a courtyard out of the central core of the building and put windows in interior space that faces the courtyard. It's expensive, but it's being done in several projects in New York right now. There are other design challenges. Offices tend to have more elevators than apartments of the same size. That's because an office needs to accommodate a rush of people in the morning and evening, and there are more people in an office than in an apartment building of a similar size. This is wasted space that can't be reclaimed for anything else. Plumbing is an issue too. Most office buildings have bathrooms near the central core and limited or no plumbing throughout the rest of the floor plate. An apartment conversion requires extensive plumbing renovation to install bathrooms and kitchens. But imagine you found a building that's perfect for conversion. It's 60% vacant, so the owner is probably looking to sell the building. You have some good ideas to solve the layout. You want the building. There's just one problem. If it's 60% vacant, that means it's still 40% occupied with office tenants. And those tenants might have the right to occupy that building for 10, 15, even 20 more years. If you want to convert the building, you have to buy them out of their leases. You have to pay them money to leave before their leases are up. And if they get wind of your plans, they're not going to leave for a low price. I told you this was a puzzle that could make your head hurt. And the truth is, a conversion from office to residential is not going to work in the vast majority of old office buildings. The challenges are just too great. But it will work for some. The farther old office buildings fall in value, the better this looks as an investment. Manhattan apartment rents are at record highs and keep pushing higher. So the gap in value between apartments and offices is growing. And when that happens, the rewards get bigger for any developer that can solve this puzzle. The city government can help too. As you learned on Monday, the city has a strong interest in keeping its buildings full and paying full taxes. New York real estate is full of Byzantine rules from decades past that don't make much sense today. Zoning rules can be relaxed, permits can be expedited, tax incentives can be extended. This strategy worked to convert offices in Lower Manhattan into apartments after the 1987 stock market crash and the September 11th attacks. In the 1970s, just 700 people lived in the financial district of Lower Manhattan. Now, the number is almost 85,000. So even if the conversion strategy is successful, there will still be a large, troubled cohort of office buildings. Buildings constructed in the 1960s, 1970s, and 1980s are in the most trouble. They are too big to be converted into apartments, but too old to be desirable to modern tenants. They can be renovated into better offices, but that's not a good investment now. There are just not enough office tenants to fill the space and pay back the investment on the renovation. So owners of these older office buildings and the banks that lend on them are in for a rough couple of decades. Converting is a good idea, and cities should encourage it when it's feasible, but it's not going to be enough. Only 1 or 2% of old buildings are going to be convertible in this way. So if cities want people back, they're going to have to find another way to add places to live. The crazy thing about New York is you think of New York as a city that's full of skyscrapers, but it's really not. I mean, there are lots and lots and lots and lots of 4- and 5-story walk-up apartment buildings in Manhattan right in the middle of everything. I lived in one steps from Central Park. But in New York, they have this crazy zoning system that means you can have a super tall, pencil-thin tower on one block going 80 or 90 stories in the air, surrounded by 5-story buildings for many blocks around it. But untangling all of that would be a real mess. Today's expression is to get wind of something. When you get wind of something, you find out about it. And usually, you're getting wind of a secret. Usually, when we use this phrase, you hear about something from another person that the other person did not want you to know. So imagine you are a tenant in an office building. You're a business. You have a lease that gives you the right to stay in that office space for 7 more years. And one day, you get a phone call from the landlord. And the landlord says, hey, how about we pay you some money now and you just leave and we forget about the 7 more years on your lease. Now you might say, not a bad deal. I can just take the money and go get another office. I might even be able to get another office cheaper. That sounds good. Thanks very much. I'll think about it. But then imagine that you get wind of the landlord's plan to sell the building to a developer. If you get wind of that plan, if you find out about that plan, then you might want to start playing hardball with the landlord. Because if the landlord wants to sell the building vacant, then the building owner really needs you out. And the owner might be willing to pay more for you to leave. So if you get wind of that plan, then you, as the tenant, will say to the landlord, sure, I'll leave before my lease is up. No problem, but you need to double that offer or I'll just stay here and bide my time. We talked about bank failures a few weeks ago. On March 10th, Silicon Valley Bank failed and was taken over by the government. It was the second biggest bank failure in American history. Right here in 2023, it held the company deposits for a lot of startups in Silicon Valley. Well, I read a story that went something like this. Startup founders were going about their business on March 9th, doing whatever they would normally do on a Thursday, when they got wind of trouble at their bank. They found out about the trouble the bank was having, so they stopped everything to withdraw their money from the bank. Now, as soon as they got wind of the problems at the bank, they withdrew their money, making the problems worse. And the next day, Friday, March 10th, the bank collapsed. In lesson 529, we talked about the incredible story of two Venezuelan immigrants in Florida that attempted to scam their country's corrupt elite out of their homes. You remember that certain people, drug smugglers, whatever, from Venezuela are under economic sanctions and they can't travel to the United States, but they own homes in Florida, many of them. So these two decided they'd impersonate the owners of the homes and take out expensive loans against the homes and use the proceeds to live large. It almost worked. And the funny thing is, when the drug smuggling owners in Venezuela got wind of this, they complained that the U.S. justice system didn't safeguard their private property enough. Last week, we talked about a new treatment for obesity. It comes in the form of an injectable drug. For people who are seriously overweight and who face health risks due to their weight, this could be a lifesaver. Patients on the treatment have lost 20% of their body weight in the weeks after going on the treatment. Well, it didn't take long for the TikTok and Instagram influencers to get wind of that and start promoting this drug as the skinny pen. I can assure you that the drug companies and regulators don't want this being promoted by wafer-thin influencers as a shortcut for otherwise healthy followers to get skinnier, but here we are. Today's song of the week is Light My Love by Greta Van Fleet. Greta is a girl's name, but Greta Van Fleet is a band of four guys. They named the band after a local woman. Anyway, Greta Van Fleet won a Grammy Award for Best Rock Album in 2019. They've played with Elton John, and their sound has been compared to Led Zeppelin, Pete Townsend, and Aerosmith. Light My Love is from 2021. I don't think they sound like Led Zeppelin in that song, but that's just me. It's a good song nonetheless, so thanks, JR, for picking that one for us this week. And that's all for today's lesson. This was one of those rare occasions where I got to talk about something I used to study for work. When I was in consulting, my industry specialty was real estate, so this was familiar territory for me. So I hope you enjoyed Monday's lesson and today's lesson, a window into the kinds of things I used to think about all the time. Remember, this was lesson 559, so you can get the full transcript of this lesson at plainenglish.com/559, and you can unlock transcripts of our full library by becoming a free member at plainenglish.com. We'll be back on Monday with a new topic. See you then.